Welcome to Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, and welcome to Finish Well Radio. We're so excited to have with us two homeschool grads and one homeschool dad, and they all have fascinating jobs. So we are in luck tonight that our homeschool grads are in the business world, and Sam is a firefighter. So welcome to each of you. It's so good to have you.
Thank you.
I'm going to have each of them introduce themselves and tell you where you can find them on the web.
Hi, I'm Juliana Curtis. I'm Meredith's second oldest. I don't really have a blog or any websites of my own, but you can find a little bit about me on the Powerline Church website, which is powerlinecc.com. And I'm also a speaker at Finish Well Conference, and so there's a little bio about me on the finishwellcon.com website.
Hi, I'm Sam Strebe, and like Juliana, I don't have a special website either, but I do have a Facebook. It's called Sam Strebe. You can find me there.
Hey, I am Zach Nolet. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter, and I have a website called ZachWasHere.com. That's ZACKWasHere.com. I am also a speaker for Finish Well. I'm a drummer for my church, and I'm pumped about this talk. I think we're going to have a good time.
And Zach also created our brand new Finish Well website, and if you like it, you can let him know on his Facebook. It's a beautiful site. Everyone's been really excited about it that I talked to today, Felice, and so really neat. Juliana, we are going to get started with you. First of all, where did you go to college and what degree did you get?
Well, I went to Stetson University and I graduated in 2011 with a degree in accounting information systems. And that's basically a major in accounting with a minor in information systems. So I took a bunch of extra classes like web design, C#, if anyone has ever heard of SAP, just different programs that are in the business world.
Tell us about your job hunt when you graduated and then your very first job.
Okay. So I started job searching when I was a senior in college, and I was intent that I would have a job before I graduated. I wanted to have something lined up and not have to worry about that at all. So I really started intently at my last semester, and I did a ton of job searches online. I went to all of my professors asking them if they knew of any jobs, and a lot of them were asking their friends for me, and I went to our career services, you know, got my resume spruced up and everything. And so I spent a lot of time looking, and I was actually looking for a job in private accounting because I knew I didn't want to go into public accounting and get my CPA, but I could not find any jobs in private accounting. So what happened was one of my professors, it was the first time I'd ever had him for a class, my last semester in college, and one of his old students worked at the company that I actually started working for, and she emailed him saying, we have a bunch of openings, do you know of any students you'd recommend? So I had only met him like a month before, but he could tell I was a good student. He liked how, you know, I was always early to class and stuff like that, and so he talked to me about it, and it was not a job in accounting, it was actually just in information systems. And so it was just working with technology and databases, and it wasn't really something I had considered before, but it was the only job that had opened up at that point. And so I decided to apply for it. And I just, the whole time I was just praying that the Lord would send me to the job that he wanted me to be at, where I could impact people for his kingdom and reach out to people and, you know, all of that. And so before the interview, I just prayed, Lord, like, this is the only interview I've had. So if this is your will, then I pray you would just give me a complete peace about it. You know, I don't want to take, if they offer me the job, I don't want to take the job just because it's the only offer I've gotten. But I really want this to be where you want me to be. And he just made me, I'm normally really nervous during interviews, and I was so relaxed during the interview, and I ended up getting to talk about church, with them and, you know, just learning about the company, I really felt like that was where I was supposed to be. And so the Lord just completely opened the door for me to be there, and that's where I ended up working for 3.5 years.
Wow, that's awesome. Right before Christmas, Juliana, you applied for a new job with a different company, and tell us about that transition and your new job.
Okay. So in some ways, I'm doing very similar work now that I was doing before. I'm still working with information systems. I'm still working with technology. But before, I was actually working with the technical side of health benefits, and now I'm working with the technical side of accounting. So I'm actually doing, my job is now more in line with what I was studying in school, and so that's been really exciting. I work for Verizon now. I'm part of their accounting department, but I basically help the accountants with their programs and, you know, getting things to work, and when things don't work, they'll come to me, and I also make sure that people have the correct access to programs that they should have, and so it's a lot of problem solving and stuff like that. But basically a couple months ago, I knew some people that went to Verizon and started working there. And they were like, Juliana, you have to start working here. It's great. It's amazing. You'll love it. I was about to start the really busy season at my job. And I was like, I don't have a piece with applying for a new job right before my busy season. So, you know, I want to pray about this. I don't want to make a rash decision. And so I decided to just wait a couple months and pray a lot and really seek the Lord about it, because I didn't want to just get a new job because I was going to make more money or, you know, have better benefits or anything like that. I wanted it to be where God wanted me to be. And so I fasted and prayed for a week. I talked to my parents. I talked to other people I respected and just really sought the Lord about it. And I decided to apply for the job, but I waited to leave my old job until our busy season was over. And that it was cool because that ended up being a really big testimony to my old boss. And they really respected that I stayed there through the busy season and, you know, put up with all of it before moving. But the Lord just completely opened the door at Verizon for me to move there. And it's been really cool so far. And I think I'm going to continue to enjoy it. I've only been there for 2 months so far. But it's been really cool how faithful the Lord has been.
That's so neat. What skills are required for your job, Juliana? What did you learn in school, and what did you learn on the job?
The only skills that you really have to innately have is just an ability to notice details. You have to have an ability to problem solve and be creative with problem solving, I would say, in any kind of technical job. But most of what I learned in school was just basic computer systems knowledge, you know, databases, just how programs work, the flow of everything. A lot of what I learned with accounting is very helpful for what I do now because I understand the people that I'm helping, what they're doing. But much of what I learned at my jobs, though, are the specifics of the programs that I work with now, because currently I'm working with like 6 or 7 different programs. And, you know, I only knew one of them when I was in school. So a lot of the more specifics and hands-on experience comes at the job.
What is the best part of your job, and what do you enjoy the most?
My favorite thing is solving a problem. I love being faced with something that someone else can't figure out and being able to figure it out. And I love, you know, seeing something that doesn't make sense or that can't be put together and then, you know, just ironing it out and making it work and being able to see the results of your hard work is what I really enjoy. And I really enjoy talking. So I've always known that I wanted to have a job with lots of other people around me so that when I got bored working on whatever it is that I'm working on, I could just go and talk to people. So I have a lot of coworkers that can expect me to just, you know, a couple times a day pop over and be like, hey, miss me, and they just keep working, but they let me talk, and so talking.
Now you all know that since she's such a great problem solver, why when she went away to college, I felt completely lost because she was a great asset to my homeschool with her younger siblings. Juliana, what is the most challenging part of your job?
The most challenging I mean, I guess it would be the problems that I face, but I don't mind those. I enjoy them. So I would have to say the most challenging, even though it's not really a challenge, would be emails and tedious work. And if you have any kind of job in any kind of business, you're going to have hundreds of emails every day. And so you have to be organizing emails and reading emails and responding to emails all day long. And that can get old real quick, but it's just what you have to do. And then sometimes I'll have jobs where I might be just copying and pasting stuff for a couple hours because that's just what has to be done. And some of the jobs that I'll work on are fun, and then some of them are like that, and you just get really tired and end up having to get 3 cups of coffee that day because you're just copying and pasting, but you get through it.
Okay. What are the benefits? What benefits come with your job?
Well, I can only speak for large companies. Both of the companies that I've worked at are worldwide companies. Verizon is a top 16 company, so they're one of the largest companies in the world. So normally at a larger company, you have a wider variety of benefits. So I've always had really good health insurance. I've always had really good time off. Both of my jobs have given me 3 weeks of time off, where I know at smaller companies, you're normally looking at like 2 weeks. But I also have always had plenty of sick days and things like that. Some companies will offer overtime and some won't. My first job, I didn't get a lot of overtime. The first role I was in, we made overtime, but then when I got promoted, it was just work however long until you got the job done. And so some weeks I would only work 40 hours and then some weeks I would work 60 hours. Now the job I'm at does offer overtime, so they don't like you working over 40 hours unless you have to. So that really depends on what company you're working for. But the hours that you're expected to work and overtime that you might or might not get are both very big things to ask about during interviews. And some people might say to not ask about those kinds of things during an interview, but I say go ahead and ask it, and if they don't want to tell you, then that gives you an idea of the kind of people that you're about to work for. But no matter what, if you work in any kind of business job, especially with technology, you have to know that there's going to be busier times, and no matter what, at some point you're going to be working overtime. So.
Very good. What about future possibilities in your field? And also thinking about your degree, what kind of doors are open for your degree?
Future possibilities in my field, since I've already had, almost 4 years of experience in technology, this is kind of where my career has headed. I'm going to keep going down that path. So future possibilities would be more becoming a supervisor or a manager in the field that I'm already in, working in a more project management type role than necessarily doing, the grunge work like I'm doing now. So those would kind of be where I would, moving up, managing people and stuff like that. Other doors that were open to me because of my degree in accounting would have been to go and become a CPA, to get my master's and, take all the tests that you have to do and become a CPA. And with that, there's a lot of other open doors that you can do with that kind of degree and license. But again, I chose to go more on the technical route, and so that's what I'm doing now.
Very good. What are your goals for the future, Juliana?
My goals for the future are definitely to get into a position at either the company I'm at now or a different company where I am supervising other people and I'm doing project management. I do that a lot in the things that I do outside of work, and I would like to do that more with my job. And I enjoy delegating and, planning and organizing and figuring things out and managing workloads. And so that would kind of be my aspirations with, just working up and becoming a manager.
Great. And finally, how do you see God's leading in choosing this career for you?
Well, I see it in a lot of different ways, and like I shared earlier with, you know, I didn't think that my first job was where I was going to be working, you know, the field or the place that I work, but the Lord just opened up every single door and shut all the others, and so he made it really clear that that's where I was supposed to be, and when I was there, he gave me opportunities to reach out to people and to bring people into my church and to the Lord, and so that was just evidence to me that I was in the middle of God's will, and so I think that as long as I've been just really humble and seeking him, then he's been really faithful with showing me that, you know, this is the career path I've chosen for you, and if you're faithful, then I'll bless you there. So.
And Juliana, you are amazing in your field and in the way you glorify the Lord, and I have seen God over and over bless you and open doors for you, and I'm very, very proud of you. Thank you for sharing with us. And now I want to introduce you to Zach. He talked about he's the drummer at our church, and he works for AAA. But best of all, Zach is the father of my grandson that is going to be born in 2 months. And so he has a very, very special place of honor. So we're going to talk to you about your job at AAA. First of all, Zach, where did you go to college and what degree did you get?
I went to Stetson, go Hatters. And I got a business administration degree. That's what it's called, but there's a focus on marketing. So you take a bunch of general classes about business, but then you take the fun classes that are about marketing. And so that's what I have.
Isn't it great that when you love something, it's the fun classes? I think that's so cool. So tell us about your job hunt and your first job. Zach, you got your job in a unique way, and so I'm hoping you can tell us about it because I think a lot of people might want to try to get a job the same way.
Yeah, so when I was going to school, I was actually working several different jobs. And so that was cool for me because, I mean, I got to work hard and I got to put some stuff on my resume coming out of school. But what was really cool for me was that I got my job that I have now through an internship. So as a junior in college, I worked with our career advisor on campus. They have a whole office and teams of people that help you write resumes and help you do job interview rehearsals and all this kind of good stuff. And so they helped me to get my resume set up. They helped me practice for interviews. They kind of got me all the pieces I needed. But then they had a database that they kept up for internships in the area. So as a junior, you know, I was kind of owning my skills, you know, interviewing and with my resume and stuff like that, and at the same time looking for these internships. I found one at AAA. I went to AAA, AAA's national office here in Heathrow, and I got an interview, and it was a phone interview first, which was interesting. I'd never had one of those before. In business school, they talk a lot about those, so I got a lot of practice with our career development staff. And so that was kind of fun. One tip, if you ever do have a phone interview, they told me a lot in like the business classes, if you have a phone interview, stand up and smile throughout the entire interview, because it seems weird, but when you're on the phone, people can actually hear, like, your voice will change. So when you stand up and you have, like, a smile on your face, you actually talk different. So it's a little fun. But I had that interview. I had to come in for another interview with some of the people I would be working with. And then I had another interview after that, you know, with higher-up people that I would be working for as an intern. I think I had a total of, like, 3 or 4 interviews in this whole process, which was kind of fun. The beginning one, they just wanted to see, like, if I was, like, a weirdo and make sure I could, like, type. But I went through the whole interview process, and that was fun. Honestly, the practice was huge. So, I mean, I practiced a lot doing job interviews, and then when I went in there, I felt prepared. I did a lot of my homework on the business, so I knew all about AAA. I knew where they came from, and I tried to find out as much as I could about just the company itself and the position. So I came in knowledgeable about the company, why I wanted to work there, and the biggest thing was I came in knowing why I could be an asset to this company even as an intern. And so I came in knowing that, okay, I could be an asset for this company, and I'm going to convey that to the company so that they know you need to hire me. And then from that standpoint, I mean, I asked a lot of really specific questions about it, and it's just an internship, but you ask a lot of specific questions to find out whether or not you want to be in this company. for me, a cool moment during the interview process was that they had their core values in these picture frames on the wall in the interview room. And I read it in this like really awkward like pause waiting for people to come for the interview. I was like locked alone in this room. But I read through the core values, and AAA stands for some really cool stuff. And in marketing, a big part of marketing is advertising. And in advertising, your job is to sway people's opinion. And so I don't want to get into a company where I have to market for somebody who's sketchy. So with my marketing degree, I felt comfortable with AAA. I was like, man, I love this company. This is awesome. Got the position, worked as an intern. While I was an intern, I worked really, really hard. I tried to find out what they needed and tried to go like above and beyond. And I tried as much as possible to do little projects for people in totally different departments. And I actually had some really cool people that I worked for as an intern who helped me to do that. So they would kind of introduce me to people at lunch and stuff like that. So I kind of got a lot of opportunities to network in the company. And then I got to do projects for a lot of other people. So they knew what kind of work ethic I had. They knew what I was capable of, you know, business sense and technologically speaking and all that kind of stuff. And that helped because after about a year in that position, something like a year, my wife would know. Now, I was a senior. I was courting my wife, Kate, and I wanted to marry her. So I needed a full-time gig to pull that off and to buy the ring and all the other stuff that was part of that. So I was looking for a full-time position. I put a lot of interviews or resumes out in other places, but I also started applying like crazy to all the positions at AAA, trying to get something in the company because I wanted to work at AAA. The location was good. The benefits were good. The people were good. The work was good. So I just kind of like plastered everything. I talked to everybody that I knew in there and said, guys, I want to work here. Help me. And so I had a good enough reputation with everybody. I mean, everybody started talking for me. So they all knew the hiring managers who were trying to get stuff. I had a really good relationship with the HR lady who hired me because I just tried to build a relationship with her in the whole process. So I kind of had like an in. Like everybody, I had a really good relationship with everybody. So it really helped me to get the position. And so I had never met the guy that I ended up interviewing with, who's now my boss. But he had heard so many things about me from, like, other people that it really helped me get the position because he was actually looking. He told me this recently. But he was like, yeah, I was actually looking for somebody, like, with a lot of seniority and, like, decades of experience in, you know, and this kind of stuff. And I didn't have any of that. But, I mean, I was excited. I was young. I was ready to learn. I worked hard. And the people in the company could vouch for that. So went through the whole interview process with him and ended up getting that position. So now I work for AAA, and I kind of basically my job is to do marketing for their driver education. We call it driver training programs department.
Awesome. So what skills, Zach, are required for your job, and what did you learn in school? What did you learn on the job?
Marketing is kind of funny because everybody thinks that marketing is advertising, and it's not. Advertising is part of marketing, but what I love about marketing is that marketing is everything from the concept that some guy in his mom's basement had about some crazy product to the development, to the production, to the logistics and the distribution, to the building of stores, and then advertising, customer follow-up, sales, all that kind of stuff. So it's everything from start to finish. So we marketers kind of like own the world. So for me, I wear a lot of different hats because it's just the two of us that do the marketing, and we've got a couple other guys on our team who do the content stuff. So they handle, I mean, they're the pros on driver training and driver safety. And then we have a product manager who helps us just manage relationships with the people that we work with. So my different skills are everything from working in Excel and putting together spreadsheets I do stuff with databases. I do web development. I help develop social media campaigns. I do a lot with email marketing. I do a lot with online content marketing. I do a lot with sales. So I'm talking to customers and building relationships with them and then trying to build new relationships with other businesses that we're trying to get contracts with. And then I work with other vendors who are trying to work products, and I work with the guys, you know, who are developing content and bringing that into, you know, the fruition of a sellable product. And so there's a lot of technical stuff in there. A lot of the stuff I learned just for fun, kind of growing up, you know, when I was a teenager and then going through school. A lot of it I've learned like on the job and kind of doing homework, you know, at home. And school was helpful because it taught me kind of big picture concepts, how businesses work, what's going on behind the scenes, how people work, how people think, and just the ways to kind of, you know, tune into them and what their needs are and just kind of the big picture structures. It wasn't until, like, I got out of school or even just, like, the side projects I was doing in my own businesses or just for fun that I learned kind of the nitty-gritty, you know, how to actually make that stuff happen on a day-to-day basis. And a lot of Googling. And that's, like, needs to be, like, your best friend. For you need to learn how to use Google. If you don't know how something works, Google it or Wikipedia it or whatever. But you just get on the internet and it's out there somewhere, and you just, you know, you figure out how to kind of wing it from there. I mean, you could read a book too. Yes, you could read a book.
That's awesome. Okay, what is the best part of your job, Zach? What do you enjoy doing the most?
Everything. Now, I'm really fortunate. God has really blessed me in this position in that I've got a lot of freedom to be creative and try new ideas. My boss is really flexible. He's like, yeah, that sounds cool. Let's do it. And so, I mean, that's kind of fun and exciting. And I just like the variety. I do a lot of different things day to day, and it keeps me on my toes. And I get bored, like, really easy. So it's nice to have a position that is constantly throwing, like, new challenges and new little things at me. And I also really just like the creativity aspect of it, in the sense that I'm problem solving. So like Jude, I really like solving problems, but it's cool to be able to take, like, your creative brain and throw it at a problem, because then it's not just, like, artsy fartsy. It's, like, actually for something that's productive and useful and, you know, people are going to appreciate and use, you know, beyond just looking at a painting.
What is the most challenging part of your job, then?
I feel like there are so many things. I feel like there's so many things that are, like, cliche, big business things. Selena just did conference calls, and that's, like, the worst. Conference calls, emails, I mean, those are kind of lame. But it can be really challenging, honestly, the creative aspect. I know I said that's, like, my favorite part, but it can be really challenging sometimes to be creative on, like, a daily basis. Sometimes it, like, it does get, like, man, I don't want to be creative. I just want to be boring right now. So that's kind of challenging. And for me, I'm really impatient, and so just working in a big company can kind of be a challenge too, because big companies, like Julianne was saying, they get a lot of benefits, and there's a lot of, like, structure there, and there's stability, there can be job stability and a lot of benefits and stuff like that. But at the same time, it's a big company, it's been around forever, they have ways to do things, and they're not going to deviate a whole lot from that, and things take forever. Like, things can take a really long time to happen, because you've got so many different pieces, so many bosses, mom's boss's boss that has to approve to the stuff that you do. So it can just take time, and that, for me, I don't like waiting.
Okay, how about the salary range, the benefits in your field?
That one is a little bit tricky. The range can, I mean, fluctuate a lot, so you can be making you could come in as like a social media person, and you just sit on Twitter and wait for somebody to complain, and you reply to that, and that's technically, you know, part of our marketing stuff. But, I mean, at the same time, you can be making, I mean, there are guys in our company that make, you know, well over six figures doing the marketing stuff at a higher, like, management level, and, you know, somewhere in between. So, I mean, you can, you know, come in starting at 30 to 40 grand, but then quickly move up to 50, 60. It really just depends on your skill level, the size of the company, and I don't know how they, you know, do their payment structure. So AAA is awesome. They pay me a generous salary, and I work salary. The benefits are really great. They don't have, like, sick days. They don't break it up like that. They just have PTO time. So every time I get paid, they give me, you know, a handful of hours that go towards my PTO time. I can use that for vacation or sick time or paternity leave, which apparently is a thing. And so there's that. There's really great medical benefits there, retirement stuff they help you out with, and investment and stuff like that. And on top of that, we're AAA, so we have, like, special benefits in, like, weird random places, like restaurant discounts and car tires and stuff.
I love their triptychs when I was little. So do they still have triptychs?
Sort of.
They're online? Digital. Okay, cool. All right, Zach, what are the future possibilities in your field of marketing? And also, what other possibilities are open because of the degree that you got in college for you?
Because of just the variety of marketing, how big it is, there are a ton of possibilities. If I wanted to go in, like, a really different direction, I mean, I would need to do a lot of, like, studying and work on my own to kind of, you know, bone up on those skills and knowledge. But, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that I can go. In AAA, we do so many different things that I could take my, you know, marketing skills and knowledge and kind of take it anywhere. I want to stick around where I'm at because we're doing some pretty cool stuff. But, you know, eventually I could see myself moving up in the department that I'm in, or maybe even, you know, switching over to a different department and moving up. Personally, I want to get my master's at some point and be able to own my own business, but that's probably like a 10-year out plan or something like that. But you know, AAA gives me a lot of opportunities there to be able to move up and move forward and move around, and then from there, you know, do my own thing.
You just shared your goals for the future. Thank you. So you did. How do you see God's leading in choosing this career for you?
I'll keep this one kind of short because I could go like for a really long time. But I have a really cool testimony that's happened in the past couple of years in which I actually flunked out of college at UCF during like kind of rough period. And God used that period of my life to kind of get a hold of me again, and he ended up getting me back into Stetson, provided some really crazy stuff for that to happen, and the job, I was really just blessed because a lot of these pieces kind of fell into place, and it was like the timing was crazy perfect in all of it. So I definitely see God just moving in there. And so, you know, I went from being just kind of a rough spot spiritually, financially, physically, all that kind of stuff, to he's put me, I mean, he opened up the doors for this business. If I had not been able to get back into school, I definitely wouldn't, you know, be here in this company. And so now I've got like a crazy job at AAA, and I've got a wife and a baby on the way, and that's all God. He hooked me up, and I'm digging it.
Wonderful. And I am too. So, well, let's pause for a word from another Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network show host, and that's Carol Topp. Carol's show, Dollars and Cents, every other Thursday at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. Let's hear from her right now.
More than 50% of teenagers were unemployed last summer. Are you a teenager who needs some money but can't find a job? You can earn money by starting a business, and Micro Business for Teens will show you how. You'll learn how to come up with a great idea, test it, and avoid common pitfalls. Discover the secrets to success, put into action what you learn, and before long, you'll be raking in the profits. Check out Micro Business for Teens website for ideas and profiles of teenagers who are running their own micro businesses. Visit microbusinessforteens.com and get started earning money today.
In all my years of attending Finishwell conferences, I found that it's more than just homeschooling. It's learning how to live.
Finishwell 2015, July 10th and 11th. Visit finishwellcon.com for more information. You've been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
Welcome back. We are moving away from the business field now, and we're going to the exciting world of rescue. So Sam is with us here, and he is a homeschooled dad. Sam, what education and training did you receive for firefighting?
Well, hey there. First of all, high school is a good place to start. But with firefighting, there are people that have just got their GED, but it's helpful. When I started here 30 years ago, it was called 200 hours of minimum standards training. That was just the bare minimum to not get killed. Basically, they kind of knew how to use the tools, and I always tell the rookies and probies that fire truck is just a real big fancy toolbox. It's red with lights. It makes a lot of noise. But it's just the minimum standards. Today, the schooling is between 400 and 450 hours of minimum standards because there's so much more involved with education to do this job of firefighting.
Sam, I know almost every little boy dreams of growing up and becoming a fireman, but what skills are required for your job, and what do you learn them in school? Do you learn them on the job? Is it kind of a mixed bag?
Well, obviously, having mechanical skills is a benefit. Being able to problem solve and think through various scenarios of disaster, as it were, is helpful. having strength, courage, motivation to mitigate the chaos is a skill that not everybody would have. They might not want to do that. So those are some of the skills that we would have.
Great. And what is the best part of your job? What do you enjoy doing the most?
Well, obviously, driving the fire truck. But outside of that, being able to help people. We meet people when they're at their worst, and being able to be there and help them out of their sticky fixes, that's a tremendous blessing. Working together with a bunch of people that are highly trained, solving the problems. I like using the word mitigate because that's a technical word for problem solving. And we employ a whole bunch of skill sets to mitigate these situations. That's a big part of the job. Also being able to use big words in context because we're just firemen.
Sam, I know you have some different people on the team besides firefighters who are part of your team when you're called out.
Yeah, well, when you come in, you're a firefighter, and we have engineers who drive the trucks, lieutenants, command the small crews in that respect. Then you might have four or five fire trucks and a few other units showing up on scenes, and the chiefs would manage them, those scenes. The higher levels would manage larger scenes. But with all these crews, we all have a job to do, and everybody does that job. Does that answer your question?
Yes, that's great. And just so everyone listening needs to know this, that Sam's coworkers love when he calls in sick because then they get to drive the fire truck. And that is true. What is the job market like in your field? What's the salary range like?
Well, there are those fire schools classes all the time throughout the entire year. So there's, I'm approaching retirement in another 4 years, and so that's going to present an opening for somebody else. As populations grow in cities, the governments of local municipalities have to raise the law enforcement and fire rescue and the infrastructure to be able to support the people moving in, have a higher tax revenue coming in, so they can afford to pay these public service jobs. So there's always going to be work, and obviously, in my opinion, the places that are blessed are growing, so those are the places that are going to have more of an opportunity. Entry level is going to be near the $40,000 range. Every municipality, whether it's a city, county, they're going to set different rates depending on what their millage income is for their region. Some of the fire chiefs are making around $120,000 to $150,000 a year, but there's a lot of work involved, and as I tell a lot of the probationary firefighters, we're highly trained professionals, and you can move up the ranks and get pay increases as you move up the ranks, but some people are content, like me, on the field level driving the fire truck, and like Ms. Meredith was saying, they don't mind when I call in sick because once they drive the truck, they're like, wow, this is like the best part of the job. Because you can do everything. You can do the firefighting. You can do the leading. It's a pretty unique portion of the fire service. So don't tell anybody. Wait a minute, we're on live radio. Oh, my cat's out of the bag.
Awesome. So driving the truck is definitely the best, but what's the most challenging? What's the hardest thing that you go through in the job?
There's not really one thing. Sometimes the fatigue factor, the lack of sleep, catches up to you, which makes everything more challenging in that respect. Being faced with disaster, different types of scenes just outside of our level of training, it's a little frustrating. That's why we pour 40, 50, 60 people into a scene, and hopefully there's going to be one person in there that has the right idea to mitigate whatever the scene is. That's a big part of the challenges. Earlier, you asked me about education and what we do. A major portion of our training is done on the computer. Literally 20 hours a month is the bare minimum that we do. I've been at this station for 13 years, and I've processed about 20 firefighters through our station in 13 years. We're always training, always doing field training, always doing computer training. That's pretty challenging at times when you have to stop what you're doing, put the hose back on the truck, get on the truck and go to a call, come back, take the hose back off the truck and keep training so that we can become proficient with what we're doing, especially to get all these kids that are coming in who don't really know that much, and that's pretty challenging. So, and also, we have a pretty extensive IT team, which is another field that would support fire rescue, because we have computers in every unit that tells us where to go and more information about the calls. The medical units have a tough book, the same ones that the military uses, for generating paperless reports. Every patient gets a report. And we also have computers in the stations to do our training and our daily work. It's the, what would happen if the infrastructure fell down. We'd have to go back to paper. But some of the yucky stuff we have to deal with, obviously, is death and some of the smells associated with that all. Yeah, that's kind of tough at times. And it's kind of an interesting thing. Another very difficult thing is dealing with difficult people, difficult coworkers. And that's a big part of leadership in the fire service, is to be able to help usher people through these difficult situations so that we can work together as a team, because we have to be able to trust each other. So there's a lot more yucky stuff, but maybe for another show.
Okay. Just before we go on, what about the team? Are the paramedics at the fire station with you? I know the policemen come from their police station, but at a typical call, do you always have the paramedics, firefighters, and policemen?
That's a very good question. With the wide variety of emergencies we respond to, from an auto accident to someone stuck in an elevator to a slip and fall to a structure fire, a high-rise fire, brush fire, you're going to have various people, firefighters including, are going to have medical issues, are going to get injured or have attacks. Every single person in the fire rescue service is an EMT, which means emergency medical technician. One semester of classes, it's 11 credits to become an EMT, which is a prerequisite to be a firefighter. You can't take fire school until you've successfully completed EMT. So everybody's an EMT, from the chief all the way down to the guy that just started this morning. If people elect to go a little bit further, it's another year of intensive schooling to become a paramedic. And the paramedics are the ones that are basically a really good EMT with a license to push drugs. And they have a little bit more training to be able to interpret heart rhythms, administer medications to try to correct whatever the situation is. And all the EMTs assist the paramedic, and the paramedic is the one that's legally bound under a doctor's care out in the field to perform those tasks that an emergency room would do. And we basically do pre-hospital care to stabilize patients, so that when they get to the hospital, the majority of the life-saving skills are performed by the paramedic with the assistance of the EMTs.
Sam, what are the benefits that come with your job?
Well, a lot of benefits in the field. It's kind of hard to get your brain wrapped around sometimes the schedule. Most departments you work for 24 hours a day, and then you have 48 hours off, and there's other municipalities do different schedules that are kind of confusing, whether it's a 12-hour shift and you're off for 72. I'm not familiar with a lot of those, but we do 24-48, so that's, 120 days a year I work. On a typical work week, I'm going to be working anywhere from 2 or 3 days a week, which turns out to be about 54 hours a week, and so that cyclic pattern continues on each year. That's a benefit that if you take one day off of work, you have 5 days off in a row, which is a benefit, a tremendous benefit. But remember, when I go to work, I'm working 3 day shifts, 3 8-hour shifts. I'm there for 24 hours. As the benefits go, government, the municipalities have health benefits. That's a requirement. You can't work without it. So most insurance today is catastrophe insurance, but they help out with covering medical needs. And every department's different. You might hear a word called Kelly days, which is a forced day off. You have to take a day off after every 9 shifts. This kind of goes along with the truckers are only allowed to drive X amount of hours a day. They're not allowed to drive anymore. The same thing with railroad conductors, because they have to sleep. And so when you are working in a fatigue situation, danger, and that catastrophes happen. So the days off is anywhere between 10 and 25 days off a year, which the 25 days off a year equates to a little over 3 months off. And some firemen will literally take their whole vacation block in one fell swoop, and they'll be gone for 3 months. And we'll wonder if they retired. But that's what they do. And then you also have sick days, and it's kind of a running joke in the fire service because we literally put ourselves in small bedrooms at 2 o'clock in the morning that are 99 degrees where people are coughing sickness all over the place, and we go treat them, and we come back out and wash our hands and go back to bed. But we put ourselves in sick situations a lot, and they still haven't recognized the fact that we're exposed more than the average person. But we do get sick days. You accrue sick days. Sometimes you need to take a day off because you're just worn out, and that's necessary. So it's a benefit that you get. There's 2,912 hours a year I work, and that's the amount of sick time that you can accrue total. And once you get to that, you don't accrue anymore, but if you can start using it. So part of the other benefit was the family medical leave, maternity leave. They allow you up to 3 months off per child. Since I've had 6 children, I've taken a lot of family medical leave. I ate up a lot of that time. I had a freak accident I won't talk about. But I also used up another 2-3 months of time. So it really benefits to use your time, your sick time wisely, because it really benefited, because I got paid full payment for those hours I was off. The federal law, federal FLSA, Federal Labor Standards Act, requires employers to pay overtime over a specific amount of time, and it's a little bit different than a regular professional job. So when we hit the 54-hour mark, anything over that is required by law to pay overtime. And so if we work an extra shift of overtime, that's time and a half. So if there's availability and you can get it, it's a tremendous time to earn extra money at the expense of being away from your family for 48 hours instead of 24. So those are some of the benefits, insurance and sick time, that we have.
Sam, what are your goals for the future?
Oy, that's kind of a loaded question. Well, I have 4 years to go before I retire, and I don't have any set goals at this point. But earlier in my career, my goal was to become an engineer, was to take the schooling to be certified to become an engineer above and beyond a firefighter, sit for the test, and wait to get promoted, of which I did. And it was like sweet to get promoted, but then I didn't have any more goals. So I had to start a family. So I started growing a family, and I had new goals. But future possibilities in the fire service is if people enjoy logistics, if they enjoy management, if they enjoy politics, feel free to move up the ranks. But as you move up the ranks from firefighter through lieutenant to captain to chief, that requires higher schooling. There's not any college required for firefighting per se, but the lieutenant requires a minimum of 2 years college with a state officer certification, and fire chiefs have a minimum of 4 years with state officer certification, and then there's other certifications that the higher chiefs do because they manage millions and millions of dollars for the logistics of the fire service. So those are some of the possibilities in the fire service, but there's so many other fields within the fire service in the fire inspections. There's the fire marshal. They actually carry firearms because they're literally state-certified police officers that are trained to investigate fire scenes and situations like that. So there's a lot of areas. There's also the medical field with being a paramedics, which is basically a firefighter with having the paramedic skills. So there's a lot to do in the fire service in that respect.
Thank you so much. And Sam, how do you see God's leading in choosing this career for you?
Well, many years ago, I took a spiritual gifts test, and it came up helps. I had the spiritual gift of helps. I just enjoyed doing that. And so that was almost ready fit for my gifting. I enjoyed the job. I've heard it said that if you love what you do for a living, you'll never have to work a day in your life. Well, there's some truth to that, but there's a lot of hard work involved also. I'm just very thankful that I can do this job. A little boy came up to me the other day and tugged on my pant leg, and he's looking up, and he said, "Mister, when I grow up, I want to be a fireman just like you." And I had to look down at him and say, "Sorry, son, you can't do both." So he just looked at me and walked away. No. But we're glorified janitors in what we do, but we also run into burning buildings when people are running out.
Well, Sam and Zach and Juliana, thank you so much for joining us. It's been such a blessing, and you guys all have amazing jobs, and we have learned a lot tonight. Thank you again to everyone listening. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.